For those of you who missed it, you missed it. We had a great time yesterday, and it was fantastic. The kids did a great job. For those of you who are visitors or weren't here, our children put on a performance of Noah's Ark, and that's what all this stuff up here is all about. And they did a fantastic job. They've been working really hard over the last week in rehearsals and learning how to do theater and all those things. And again, I want to thank Dale and Denise for working with them on that and making that all happen. What a great day that we had. And thank you to all the folks who helped with everything that went on. The teachers, the workers in the kitchen, and registration, just everybody. It all just pitched in and made it happen. It was a great day. And one I think that our kids will really remember for quite a long time. So thank you for that. Lesson number 5 on our study on Unless, but before we get into that, I guess I need to turn this on first. Before we get into that, reminder to you that next Sunday, 5 o'clock, here in the auditorium will be the movie The Apostle Peter and the Last Supper. 5 o'clock right here, so I want to encourage you to come around and participate in that family movie evening. So keep that in mind. That's what Brian has in store for us for that. All right? Brian, you've seen this one already, right? And this is a great movie, so... I want to encourage you to come out and share that time with that. Okay, we're talking about unless statements of Jesus, and there are 8 statements that Jesus makes that we're looking at. 8 statements where he uses the word unless or except to lay out a certain principle that basically has to do with conditions, okay, that his relation or relationship with him relies on. Now, one of the things that we've said through this study thus far and want to remind you of is when we talk about conditions of relationship, people say, wait a minute, I thought God's love was unconditional. Well, it is. God's love is unconditional. God always loves us, and as we've said over and over again, there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more or to have God love us less. God is love, John says. Okay, so God's love is always and always will be unconditional, but salvation is conditional. And that's part of what this is all about, because in these unless statements, Jesus, what he's doing is expressing God's desire to have us back in relationship with him, but he's also setting certain conditions and terms for that relationship. And the thing that we've got to keep in mind always is, and we've said this over and over again, who is it that gets to set the terms and conditions? It's God, okay? He wants us back in relationship with him, but he sets the terms and conditions, not us, all right? And that's what these statements really have to do with. And so as we continue looking at these things, today we're going to talk a little bit about diet and nutrition, okay? Now, that's not my favorite topic, by the way. Okay? But we need to talk about it. There are all kinds of health experts out here who tell us what we should and shouldn't eat, aren't they? And maybe some of you guys point to me and say, Russ, don't eat that donut. All right? But there's all kinds of people that tell us what we should and shouldn't eat. And in fact, there's a variety of foods out there, and some of those foods are better for us than other foods, okay? So you look at all the foods that's out there, you say, well, this is good, this is better, this isn't so good. In fact, there are some foods out there who have very little nutritional content whatsoever, but they sure do taste good, right? You see? But, you know, the nutrition experts are always trying to get us to eat what is best for us. Now, we have these experts who put together these charts because what we eat affects the health of our body. And that's what it's really all about. So you got these food pyramids and charts and everything that tell us, you know, you need to eat this much of this in order to have a healthy body, right? So, you know, these nutrition experts are always trying to get us to focus on what's good for our physical bodies. Well, this unless statement that we're talking about today has to do with our spiritual health. Okay, but it is nutrition nonetheless. Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That's the statement, the main statement that we want to focus on today. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. In the same way, physically, if we don't eat food, we won't have any life in us after a while, because we need food to sustain us physically. And Jesus wants us to understand that we need spiritual food to sustain us for everlasting life. Okay, so let's take a look at this. We begin by talking about better bread. Okay, now if you think about it, and I don't know if you like bread, but I love bread. Okay, that you can tell, right? I got a nice bread basket right here. I like bread. And the reality is that there's a wide variety of breads out there, aren't there? I mean, there's everything to entice us to eat bread. There's plain old white bread, there's wheat bread, there's multigrain bread, there's pumpernickel bread, you name it. Somebody's got a bread variety, pumpkin bread, zucchini bread. There's all kinds of it out there, isn't it? And it all tastes good to some of us, doesn't it? We love bread. Well, again, some bread is better for us than other bread. Did you realize that in this variety of bread, the very least nutritious but most popular is plain old white bread? Okay, you know why it's so popular? Because first of all, it tastes good, and secondly, because it's the least expensive kind of bread to make and to buy. Alright, so that's what people eat all the time. The reason it's not as nutritious for us is because it's got a lot of sugar in it. And that's what makes it taste so good. So that's why we like white bread. But then there is multigrain bread, which is a whole lot better for us. Okay, but the problem is, it doesn't taste nearly as good. And it costs more to make it, so it costs more to buy it. So it's not as quite as popular, even though it is better for us. So when we're thinking about bread in this whole lesson, and Jesus talking about himself being the bread of life, we need to be thinking in terms of good bread and better bread. And Jesus is offering us the better bread. Okay? Now, here's the layout for the story and the discussion or the dialogue that Jesus has in John chapter 6. John records for us before that Jesus had previously fed 5,000 men plus women and children with a few loaves of bread and some fish. And then after that occasion, the disciples got in the boat and they left. Jesus went off to himself to pray a little bit and spend some time with the Father. And then during the night, Jesus went out and walked on the water to get to the disciples. In the meantime, all these people they were searching for Jesus, and when Jesus finally landed, we got into the boat with the disciples after walking on the water, they come to the shore, and here's all these people. And they said, "We've been looking for you." And Jesus basically told them that you've been looking for me because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And then he says this to them, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So Jesus makes a distinction here, doesn't he? There are different kinds of bread. There's bread that spoils, which is physical bread, and there is bread that doesn't spoil. That is spiritual bread. And Jesus is saying, don't work for that food that spoils, that physical bread. Look for the bread that never spoils. The bread that the Father gives to you. Now, these followers of Jesus at this point, we're not talking about the 12 disciples here, we're talking about this large group of people that by this time were following Jesus. You know, now they begin to question Jesus a little bit about this. They're not really sure about what they're hearing from him. So they ask Jesus the question, "What miraculous sign will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do?" Okay? And then they challenge Jesus with this. "Our forefathers ate manna in the wilderness." Okay? "As it is written, he gave them manna from heaven to eat." Now, They want to know, and they're focusing on the physical bread. Look at what our forefathers did when they were in the wilderness and they were hungry. Moses gave us manna. What are you going to do for us, Jesus? You see, there's a challenge that they're facing, because what's happening here is they are resting everything their religious experience on Moses. That's where their religious experience comes from, is Moses. And they look to Moses for all of that. And it is all physical, physically focused. Everything that they're doing religiously is from a physical point of view. And so Jesus has come along and he's talking about a better bread, a different kind of bread. And they want to know, wait a minute, we got this bread, this manna. Our forefathers got this manna when they were in the wilderness. What are you going to do? Are you going to do something better than that? And Jesus says he's offering them a better bread, a whole lot better bread than what they got in the wilderness, and a whole lot better bread than what they have been relying on. You see, symbolically, they've been relying on Moses and the manna to sustain them, even in Jesus' time. In other words, the relationship of them themselves as Israelites and what Moses had done for them. And Jesus is saying to them, that's not good enough. I've got something better for you. I've got a better bread. Look at what he says in verse 32. I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then he identifies himself as that bread. I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me will not be hungry. Okay? And he who believes in me will not be thirsty. And so Jesus declares himself as the better bread, right? The alternative to the physical manna. Jesus says, I am that bread. And then they start grumbling, as they were accustomed to do when they were challenged in their religious thinking. Okay? And they start grumbling about this, because basically what they're saying is, how's he saying that he came down from heaven, he's his bread? We know who his family is. They knew who Jesus was. They knew where he came from. They're saying, we know his mama, we know his daddy. How can he say that he came down from heaven? How can this be? Now, in this study, we get what I'm calling a bonus unless statement, okay? And that in this, what Jesus says here in verse 44, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, let's make sure we understand what Jesus is saying here, okay? No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. What he's saying here is that we've got to yield ourselves to the Father's love. This is not a prohibition thing where he's saying God has picked and chosen certain people to come to him and others he's not. No, God is drawing all people to him, but what it requires is a heart that yields to him and the love that he draws us with. And that's the only way for us to get to him. All right? The Apostle Paul says it this way in Romans 6, verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God. And that's really what it's all about. God is calling upon us. He's wanting to draw us to him through his love. See? And we can't get there any other way but to yield ourselves to him. In other words, we are not capable of our own initiative to find Jesus. We can only do that through the Father and through his drawing by his love. So unless we go that way, we're not going to see the Father. Now, how many of you have seen or heard this term, or maybe you've even used this expression, you are what you eat. Right? Okay. And so what you eat determines what you're going to, you know, what your body is going to be all about, right? So the food that we eat becomes part of us. All right, now that doesn't mean for you young people, that doesn't mean if you eat, you know, a cow, you're going to become a cow. All right, that's not what it's talking about. But we what we eat becomes part of our body. That's what sustains us physically. So if we eat things that are healthy, like the green stuff, and I eat a lot of green stuff, okay, they're called M&Ms. All right, those qualify as vegetables. The green ones, the red ones, and the yellow ones, they're all vegetables. You know, the doctor says I need to eat more colors. All right, so those qualify as vegetables. But you know, if we eat the good stuff, then our body is a lot healthier than if we eat a lot of junk food. Okay, I've talked about this before. I'm working on it. Okay, I'm trying to eat more healthy because I recognize that I need to do that. Okay, so but we are what we eat. What we eat becomes a part of us. And so keep that thought in mind as we look at this unless statement that Jesus makes here. Okay, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Okay, that's a condition that Jesus is laying out for that relationship with him. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. Now, is Jesus here talking about physical life? No. He's talking about spiritual life. So he is not literally referring to that we have to eat flesh and drink literal blood.
No.
Okay? What he's doing is trying to challenge the Israelites then, and he wants to challenge you and I today to stop thinking in terms of physical things and think in terms of spiritual things.
Amen.
So unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What does that really mean in terms of spiritually? Well, I think the best way to understand it is this. Think about it in terms of consuming Christ into your life. You see? When you eat something physically, you're consuming that into your body. And this is the idea. I mean, Jesus wants us to consume him into our life. Now, the reason that I use this word consuming is because it's a whole lot different than nibbling. Okay? And that's something we've got to understand. Jesus doesn't want us to nibble on him a little bit. And I think that's a problem that a lot of Christians have, is that they're content to just nibble on Jesus. They don't want to take a whole big bite. They don't want to consume him in their life because that would require too much change and commitment. And so as long as I just kind of nibble a little bit, you know what the problem with nibbling is? When you nibble, you don't ever really get hungry, do you? You see? You think about it. Somebody says, you want something to eat? Well, no, I'm just kind of nibbling all day. I'm not really hungry. Because I've been eating a little bit here and a little bit there. Just taking a little portion, a little bit here. No. When you do that, you're never hungry. And people that nibble on Jesus, so to speak, are never really hungry for him. And so therefore, they will never really consume him in their lives. And that's what he wants us to do, is to consume him into our lives. He's talking about spiritual nutrition. Okay? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Consume him into your life is what Jesus is talking about. To accept his sacrifice for our eternal life. And again, he's not referring to manna or physical food here. Okay? He's talking about the spiritual food of he himself. And James read for us as we were celebrating the communion just a few minutes ago. James read for us this passage out of 1 Corinthians. And the thing that I want you to focus on is what he says towards the end of this passage here. Look at it. He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. And so you see, that's why we do what we do on the first day of every week in remembering the Lord's death. We're proclaiming that death, and we will continue to do so for how long?
Forever.
Until he comes, you say. And that's what we are participating in.
Amen.
That's why we celebrate. That's why we remember. Because Jesus wants us to always have before us this concept of consuming him into our lives, coupled with what he has done in the work of our salvation. Okay? Now, in verse 60 of John chapter 6, after Jesus has given this bread, this discourse on the bread of life, and telling these followers that they've got to eat his flesh and drink his blood, that he is the bread of life, they come to a point where there are many of those disciples, John says, who say, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? Now, we need to understand that it's not hard to understand. That's not what they're saying. They're saying it's hard to accept. And there's a big difference. They understood what Jesus was saying. They just had a real difficulty accepting the truth about his teaching. They had a difficulty accepting the better bread that Jesus was offering. You see, Jesus was challenging them to stop relying on their relationship with Moses and the physical stuff associated with that, all the sacrifices of keeping the law and all of those things, and to start relying on him. And they said, this is a difficult teaching. This is a hard saying. We can't accept this. And you know, verse 66 says this, upon hearing this, many of his disciples turned and no longer followed him. Okay? They stopped following Jesus because the teaching, the bread, was too difficult for them to accept. And you know what? I'm afraid that people today are doing the very same thing. Right? People today kind of like their comfortable religious experience that they're having. They like the way things are. That's what was the problem with the Israelites. They liked their comfortable religion. They had it all down pat. Keep these rules, follow these things, do these things, and everything's fine. We get to go to heaven when we die. It was comfortable. And Jesus came along and challenged that. People today get uncomfortable when they're challenged with the same thing from Jesus. We like that comfortable religion that we've kind of worked out for ourselves. Why do you think we have so many religions, so many churches out here that all claim to be Christian churches? Because people have searched and searched to try to find the one that makes them comfortable.
Good.
Physical health versus spiritual health. I wonder how long it's going to take before we get to the point in America where there will be more people at the gyms on Sunday mornings than there are in the churches. Because people are so focused on the physical things of this life instead of the spiritual. And I wonder if Jesus were to come and just visit churches around America, how many of them would kick him out? Because the teachings that he brings are too hard to accept. Here's one of the things that I'm convinced of. You know, we study the Bible, we read the Bible, and we learn a lot from what the Bible says. But I've said this before, I'm convinced that we can learn a lot of things from what the Bible doesn't say, as well as what it does say. And this is one of those classic examples of that. In other words, What the Bible doesn't say when these disciples turned and stopped following Jesus, it doesn't say that Jesus ran after those disciples and said, wait a minute, I didn't really mean it that way, let's talk about this, I don't want you to leave. We can work this out. He didn't say that at all. Instead, what it does say is that Jesus turned to the disciples, to the 12, and says, you want to leave too? You want to leave too? Okay. In other words, is this teaching too hard for you to accept? And that's a question that you and I need to really ask ourselves. Are we willing to accept the hard teachings of Jesus? The challenges that he gives us Are we willing to change from a focus of the physical things in this life and in this world to the spiritual things in this life? Or are they too hard for us? And we're content to just nibble a little bit on Jesus instead of consuming him into our lives. You see, Jesus really is the true bread that came down from heaven. And he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Unless you consume me into your life, you are dead. Another way to look at that is this. Okay? If you haven't got the bread of life, you're toast. What do you do with the hard teachings of Jesus? You either turn and walk away from them, or you accept them. And this is a hard teaching, admittedly so. Many of these disciples said, I can't follow this. It's a challenge that Jesus gives to us to stop focusing on the physical things and to focus on the spiritual things, specifically him, and consuming him into our lives.
Amen.
Because we are what we eat, the more we consume Jesus into our lives, the more, listen to me, we become like him. See? And that's what this is about. Becoming more like Jesus. Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We're going to stand together and sing a song that Wes has chosen for us as an invitation song. And it's designed and intended to cause us to have some time where we can think about, you know, what we're hearing, what are we studying, and to really examine ourselves and say, hey, you know, there's some things in my life that I need to get straightened out. Maybe you've just been content with nibbling on Jesus instead of being committed to consuming him into your life. Well, if that's maybe something that you've been doing, you recognize that about yourself, I want to encourage you to stop nibbling and take the whole thing. See? Take him into your life so you can become more like him. Maybe something going on in your life that Satan is really wreaking havoc in your life and keeping you from being what God wants you to be. You need some help with that. You need prayers, guidance, counsel, whatever it might be. We want to help you with that. But we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an opportunity for you to come and say, hey, this is what's happening. I need some help. There may be somebody here this morning who has not yet given their life to Christ, but is ready to do so. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, you can do that right now. We do have behind all of this, you know, stuff, we've got water, we've got a baptistry back there. The water is clean, it's warm, and it's ready. If you're ready to make that commitment. Follow upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now if you're ready to make that commitment. Whatever your need is, we want to help to serve that need. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer conversation with him, and I'll be up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up front. Let's stand together and sing.